the mountains in search of our home. We multiplied like the heavenly stars, but we forgot who we are. Someday our eyes will be open. Someday our souls will be free. Soon we'll remember when we break the spell that we are Jacob Israel. We built cathedrals in London and Gaul, founded a land with no fences or walls. We grew in numbers, stretching so far, yet we forgot who we are. Someday our eyes will be open. Someday our souls will be free. Soon we'll remember when we break the spell that we are Jacob Israel.
El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham. And by the power of your hand, turned the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. That the time of Christ was near, though the people failed to see what Messiah ought to be. Though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand that your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your Son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erakam Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erakam Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
Strange man walks in holding his gun. He kills somebody and he's on the run. Out the door and into the busy streets. The cops chase him round town for an hour or two. Go back home, he's on the evening news. They tell us it's alright, we got him in custody. Maybe it's me, but I'm scratching my head, wondering why that SOB ain't dead. When everyone knows it's him, why should we wait? It's time we go back to hanging them high. Let's light the torches in the middle of the night. Somewhere along the way, we've gotten way too soft. We don't need a jury when we see what he's done. Just build the gallows and wait for the sun. Get the vigilantes loaded up with justice for all. If this country still had balls. Tax money pays for nice hot meals, for a killer locked up making more appeals, so he can get right back out and do it all again. Now I ain't saying that a man can't change, but you can't tell right from wrong these days, unless we send a message they won't forget. So it's time we go back to hanging them high. Let's light the torches in the middle of the night. Somewhere along the way, we've gotten way too soft. We don't need a jury when we see what he's done. Just build the gallows and wait for the sun. Get the vigilantes loaded up with justice for all. If this country still had I know every man can be redeemed, but if he don't choose to, we better still have plan B. So it's time we go back to hanging them high. Let's light the torches in the middle of the night. Somewhere along the way, we've gotten way too soft. Don't need a jury when we see what he's done. Just build the gallows and wait for the sun. Get the vigilantes loaded up for justice for all. If this country still had balls, country still had balls.
give years away to have you here. You know I can't lose you again.
There's something brewing, people know that things aren't right. We're in the dark, it's black as night. And when the ones who see the truth try to convey, they're ridiculed and turned away. But now it's time for us to see. I think we all know we've been lied to through the years. Events confirm our darkest fears. And in denial we still act like nothing's wrong. We work so hard to get along. Manipulate. It's all been planned. We can prevail, we can make our freedom last. Forget your history and you'll repeat your past. Search your heart and you'll know that it's true. It's up to us. It's there in chapter 3. It's in the book.
for all to see. With so much knowledge, yet so distant from the truth, polluting minds of all our youth. It's written in our history. So blind our eyes that will not see. It's up to you, it's up to me. We must be brave or be a slave.
Pizzerico, wherever you to equal. Your dreams will come true. Yeah, La Pizzerico, your dreams will come true. Yeah, La Pizzerico, your dreams will come true.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the 11th day of May, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is What He Hates. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate it to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Kumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We also draw your attention on that website to the Daily Mail page for updates on current events, health issues, etc. And also the home page where you find information for those folks who wish to make a donation. There is also a page entitled Contact Us. If you have no other way of reaching me, you can send me a note through that. I'll get it, and I will respond to you. We'll try this one more time. I'm working on it because it's a little bit different, but a little message out to our various cousins in other lands. Amis français, bienvenue à la radio diffusée. Amis primos españoles, bienvenidos a la transmisión de radio. En zu meinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen in der Radiosendung. And I'm not even sure if I'm getting that one right. It's like Radio Sendung or something like that. So I might have to have my Germanic friends straighten me out on that one, if they feel so inclined. Ella sends me a note. Oh, thank you, Ella. So it sounds like I'm coming in 5x5. And again, we're still playing with the software and how everything interacts to get it right. So we do bear ask your indulgence to bear with us as we work through these things. So the topic for tonight basically came about because of the, as the topic says, what is it the father hates about his children? In other words, what is it that we're doing wrong? I mean, obviously we're doing some things wrong because we are under severe judgment. We are being ruled over by tyrants. And that's generally because of disobedience. Because a lot of people say, well, these people are sick, they're psychopaths. Well, sure they are, but how did they get there? Okay, where were your watchmen? Where were the preachers? Where were the so-called men of God when all this was going on? Where were the elders of the congregations? Where were the church leaders? Where were the elders within the homes? Where were the soldiers? Where were those who would cry out and defend the innocent? Okay? We didn't show up for the fight. So the adversary won. And so I've got some different verses here I want to go over. And looks like I misspelled a word here. Some words to go over and get into this message per the scripture and also current events. It seems to me that we are quickly approaching the movie Idiocracy. I don't know how many folks out there have seen that movie, but I recently watched it again, and it is a terrible movie. I mean, the acting and everything in it's pretty bad. However, it's like the movie They Live, okay? It was never going to win an award. It wasn't put together to be center stage, etc. I thought the guys did an admirable job on it, but They Live has a tremendous amount of symbology in it to teach you a lot about what's going on today, if you have the discernment to see it. And so does this goofy movie called Idiocracy, because as you look around the world today, people, they really are idiots. I mean, they're retards. They are mentally retarded. Their IQs must be somewhere down in the area of 75 to 80, maybe 85 at best. They're borderline retarded. Now, just before airtime, I watched a young man made a clip where he asked a bunch of people, and one of them was a fairly young woman that was training to be a teacher. And he was asking questions like, what's the largest city in Europe? And what's the largest country or largest city or whatever? And these people had no idea. They were talking about, one person said, Europe. Europe is a continent, okay? It's a large landmass, and they're calling it a city. But he asked questions similar to that. Mark Dice asks these kind of questions often and gets pretty close to the same kind of responses from people. But the IQ, the lack of knowledge, the lack of current events, the lack of any kind of self-awareness, let's say, for a lot of people. This does not mean everybody, obviously. But there are a tremendous amount of our people walking around that are mentally incapacitated. It's just, it's almost beyond belief. As I told one of our brethren right before airtime, we got into a discussion about the sad state of affairs. It's the job of the remnant to wake up the lions. Okay? That's where we're at. It's time to wake up our lions. We're never going to wake up the large body of sheep out there. Like I said, I'm not even sure it's even possible to wake them up anymore. So the ones that are going to wake up are awoke. So we need to wake up the lions, the leaders, the warriors that are going to be able to go out onto the battlefield with the adversary and bring the rest of us home from the fight. Because that's what's coming up next. This is going to go hot at some point. Now, as we get into the discussion of what our Father hates, there's two words that we have to remember the dictionary definition of as we discuss these topics. One is discord. In other words, in the Proverbs where it says what he hates, which is Proverbs chapter 6, starting at verse 16. In fact, let's read it. There are six things that Yahweh hates. Notice it says hates. It doesn't say dislikes. Hates seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, as in infanticide or murder of children, babies. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies. And finally, the one who sows discord among brethren or brothers. Now, discord. What is discord, according to the dictionary? Well, number one, it is the lack of agreement or harmony. In other words, he wants harmony amongst his brethren. Number two is a disagreement among those expected to cooperate. Okay, now, the enemy, Satan's kids, they've got us going to war with each other when our Father wants exactly the opposite. So World War I, World War II, all of the world wars, including the tremendously wicked war for Southern independence here in the United States, all of these are brother fighting brother when what's our Father want here? He wants us to cooperate. He wants brethren to stop fighting brethren, especially at the behest of our enemy. Number three, a harsh mixture of sounds, which of course does not apply here. Number four, strife resulting from a lack of agreement. So let me postulate a question here to the audience. Do we need to agree on every single facet of doctrine to be brothers? To work together, to defend one another, to go forward for the kingdom? Do we need to agree on every single facet? I postulate that no, we don't. I think the Father is looking for us to work together in spite of our disagreements. He wants us to look past the disagreements and remember who the hell we are. Yes, we're his children, but we're also brothers and sisters of the same family. Now, I had an interesting talk with a young man. Well, he's young to me. He's in my age bracket, in his 60s. Earlier today, he's quite the researcher, and he's been through a lot of tribulation in his lifetime for the truths that he's brought out. But we got talking about this discord and the, quote, identity message when it deals with race. Now, not everybody in identity agrees on this issue. There are some in identity who feel that race is the only thing that matters. I'm not one of them. If that's your choice, well, that's between you and the Father. I personally am not there. No, race alone is not going to save you. Nor are all the blessings kept away from other people who choose to do the right things. Now, does that make them part of our family? Does that make them inheritors of the covenants and promises? No, it does not. As in the book of Matthew, when the woman wanted a healing for her sick daughter. Now remember that story well, because the woman was there on behalf of her daughter. So we're talking about a child who was ill, and this non-white woman is asking Yahshua for a blessing. Yahshua does not respond to her at all. He looks to the brethren, to the disciples, and says, "It is not good to give the children's bread to dogs." Those are the words of Messiah, folks. He called the woman and her child dogs. What does that mean? It means that they were not of the Jacob-Israel family. Now, that is when the woman says, "Yes, I am a dog." She didn't dispute that. "I am not of Jacob-Israel. I am not a white Israelite. However, do not dogs, are they not worthy of scraps from their master's table?" In other words, she put herself under the authority of Yahshua. She said, "I recognize that I am not part of your lineage. However, do I not deserve a blessing if I am obedient, if I have faith?" And that's when he said, "Yes, of course you do." And he blessed her. He blessed her with a gift of healing for her daughter. He did not turn around and say, "Okay, from now on, you're an Israelite. From now on, all the promises to the children belong to you as well." He did not say that. Nowhere in Scripture do I read anywhere where he must say that. Okay, now Ellis says here we have to agree on main truths like flat earth, identity, Bible basics. Well, okay, one person's basic is another person's not basic. That's the problem with that. For instance, the shape of the earth, okay? Is it important? To me, it is, because it is one of the great lies that started off centuries of major lies to the people, and that's why it's significant. Does my brother need to agree with me on that to be my brother? No, he doesn't. Not in my book. Okay? Everybody has a personal choice to make on that matter. Okay? We can disagree. In fact, I have some of the brethren that do disagree with me on that one. They're still my brothers. I will still fight shoulder to shoulder with them against the adversary. That's my take on it. Again, you can have your own take on it, because ultimately, each one of us will stand before the Father at the great white throne judgment and give an accounting. All of us will. I'm just telling you that we're never going to agree 100%. I don't care who it is out there. I've been doing this for a very long time. I have yet to find another Israelite that agrees 100% with me on every issue. I haven't found it yet. So if you guys have found it, well, bravo to you. But I haven't found it. Okay? Now, as we go through these verses, there's another word in here that's very, very important for the house of Jacob Israel at this time, and that is the word humble, as in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Humble. And here's the dictionary definition. Marked by meekness or modesty, not arrogant or prideful. I think a lot of people have forgotten what that word means in this day and age. So again, it is marked by meekness or modesty, not arrogant or prideful. And here again, in my travels, in the many years of giving talks, sermons, lectures, whatever you want to call them, in gatherings and then on the radio with all these years behind me, I can tell you there's a whole lot of people in our camp that have a very difficult time with the being humble. Sad to say. So, remember Proverbs 6:16 through 19, the seven things that our Father hates that are an abomination to Him. Let's run through them again in case some of them may apply to you. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil. People who run to the Edomite Jew and beg for their blessing on their endeavors so that they can have money and be part of the, quote, oligarchy. A false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. We have a big battle coming in front of us there, guys. We need lions, and we need the brothers to be on board with each other, to remember who we are and what family we belong to. Some other verses that I came up with here to go along basically with what we're talking about. Here's out of Romans chapter 16, verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. So, even though the scripture and the early followers of Christ often talked about the importance of gathering together, and yet right here it tells you that if you come across those who cause division and create obstacles, avoid them. So even as important as it is for us to gather together and assemble, if the people have these attributes, then we're to avoid them. That's how serious this is. Another case in point here, the book of Romans, of course, came to us through, as far as my research anyway, primarily the Greek language, Koine Greek, to be exactly. And the word brother comes from the Greek word adelphos. Adelphos. And it's a compound word, and means from in the Greek language, Delphos. Delphos is the womb. So in the Greek language where this word brother has been interpreted, English does not have the connotation that the Greeks did. They did not call you a brother if you were not from the same womb, meaning the womb of Sarah. If you were not an Israelite, you would not be a brother. So the modern-day church world, of course, has completely obliterated what our ancestors, the disciples, and Messiah was trying to teach us with their modern universalism. Again, because they want a one-world religion, remember? That's their goal. And in Romans 13, verse 9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, which actually that is saying you should not commit mongrelization, which of course race mixing is one of the things. You shall not commit mongrelization. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. And remember, we've told you stealing is also using other people's property without their permission. That is a form of stealing. You shall not covet. That's where the so-called adultery comes in, coveting another man's wife. And any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You could also sum it up in do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Very simple, very plain, very straightforward. But how many people live it? Count on your hands how many people you know in your personal life that actually live those words. and we wonder why we've got this dystopic world around us. Exodus 20, verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And again, here, this word neighbor, again, is implying racial kin living with each other, because Leviticus and Deuteronomy tell us that if they're not racial kin, they shouldn't be living next to you. They should not be your neighbors. Okay? We are to maintain separation between the different kinds. Now, when governments, which are antichrist, get involved, they write laws to try to circumvent the natural law. But when you keep the government of men out of it, especially Jewish individuals out of it, people will naturally congregate with their own kind. I've seen it in football and in baseball. I've seen it in nuclear power. I saw it in the Air Force, at the mess hall, and at the Airmen's Club, and different places like that. People will tend to congregate with their own kind. It's a natural thing. It's not unnatural. It's very natural. It's only man that keeps wanting to try to reinvent nature and the God of nature. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from Yahweh God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So again, here he's talking about testing the spirits. What spirits then would he be talking about? Maybe the spirit of the person who claims to be a prophet? Do you think that may be what he's talking about? Test the spirits. You don't just take anybody's word for anything. Test everything. And that includes me, by the way. I'm not above that. You should be testing me as well. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Now remember, in biblical terms, darkness and light are, what are they? Idiomatic expressions talking about ignorance, particularly ignorance of God's law. So who put darkness, meaning ignorance, in place of enlightenment to Yahweh's law? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? So Isaiah chapter 5 here is talking obviously about the 180 degrees out of sync that our world is today. Okay, as you take a look around, tell me we're not completely out of sync with the way it should be. I have a standard challenge I have had for over 25 years in public speaking and in radio broadcasting, a challenge for somebody to tell me what portion of our Father's law are we not violating today. It's really gotten that bad. Okay? What portion of His law are we not violating? Because from my reading of it, we're violating almost all of it. It's actually amazing to me. It's amazing that we're even still here. Really. It's amazing to me that he has not pulled the plug on this whole thing. Revelation 21, starting at verse 7. The one who conquers will have his, or have this heritage, and I will be his Elohim God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. See, the first death, we're all going to go through the first death, at least up until the point of the changing in the twinkling of an eye, which you and I, ladies and gentlemen, might actually be part of that. You know that, right? We're getting that close. We could actually be part of that group that will not taste the first death. We will go straight into the perfected bodies of the kingdom. Wouldn't that be amazing? Maybe that's why it's worth going through all this heartache that we're going through now. Think about that for a minute. As bad as it is, as frustrating as it is, what if the reward for the overcomers is that you go straight from this world, this corruptible body that gets old and decrepit, you go straight from this body into your perfected body without dying. Now, let me ask you, should that happen, would you not look back at that point in time and say, yeah, it was worth it? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be like the mom with her little baby laying on her chest after she's had a natural childbirth and the cord is still attached and that little baby's crawling up her belly to get its first suck? Doesn't she say the same thing? At the instant that child is laid on her belly, she looks back. She doesn't remember the pain hardly at all. At least the women I've talked to have said that. It'd be very similar to that. Is it worth going through all that to be able to be part of that crowd? I vote yes. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Okay, so it's not just the departure of the faith. It's not like you wake up one day and go, well, I just don't want to be a believer anymore. It's because they have devoted themselves to what? Deceitful spirits, false prophets, and teachings of devils, which would be the Jewish influence. Okay? Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 4. So, through the insincerity of liars. That sounds like just about everybody you see on the boob tube today. Whose consciences are seared. Those that have a conscience of the white race, those of other races, their consciences are seared. Now, for those of you who've ever seen a Western movie where they've had a gunfight and somebody gets wounded and you see them take that red-hot poker out of the fire and they sear the wound. In other words, they put that against the wound and it forms a crust so that the bleeding stops. So what it's saying here, the conscience has been seared. It's like there's a very hard crust around the conscience so that there's no empathy anymore. It's like they don't even have a conscience. Now, Satan's kids, they don't have a conscience to begin with. So there's not a searing of their conscience. They never had one. Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Now, see, here's the difference between a man and males. We've got billions of males walking around, but we don't have a whole lot of men. Not in this day and age. Okay? Sadly, we do not. Now, for the real men out there, yes. As iron sharpens iron, a real man will sharpen another real man. These males out here are pretty much hopeless. Hopeless. They're basically females in males' bodies. That's why the transgenderism is getting some of the support it is, because these guys are so effeminate, they might as well try to be women, because they sure as hell don't act like men. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Divorce and moms raising boys, which is wrong. They should be raised by men, not males, men. There's the food poisoning, there's the estrogen in the water, there's the progesterone and other hormones that are in the foods and the sprays. Not to mention the mind-numbing propaganda over the boob tube. Whew. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you, have unity of mind. In other words, think alike. Try to come together with some commonality. So have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Humble mind. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. For Yahweh your Elohim God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. We're not in this fight alone, folks. That's why I say, you know, at times we sort of get discouraged. We think, oh my God, this is just so overwhelming. The numbers aren't there. We don't have that many on our side. Oh my God. We sound like King David. Oh Lord, I don't have enough soldiers. I'm going to have to go out and do a census. And guess what? He got punished for that, didn't he? It doesn't matter what you think is going on out there. It doesn't matter what the consequences of your actions are. Doing the right thing for the right reason is your responsibility. It's not because you think a certain outcome should be given to you. Yahweh doesn't promise that. He just says, do the right thing for the right reasons, and that should be enough. Psalm 108, verse 13, with Yahweh God, we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes. We shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes. So again, we're not alone. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. We're all there right now, aren't we? Remain steadfast. You are blessed. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which Yahweh God has promised to those who, what? Love him. Can you love Yahweh God and disobey him? Can you love Yahweh God and not take into account his law? Just asking, can you overlook all of his statutes and commandments if you truly love him? If you truly love him, do you not think upon him day and night? Just asking. So he promises this crown of life to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For Yahweh God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one. The temptations are those that we create for ourselves, folks. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And I can tell you from my own life, my troubles in my life were my own fault. I can't think of a single thing that ever happened to me in my life where I could look up and blame the Father above. Now, I might cry out to him. I might ask for his help and plead with him to help me get out of this mess. But there's not a single time that I can think of that I would have had the right to blame him for my misfortune. That's just my life, just sharing it. John 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, so again, who's the Helper? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in Messiah's name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, let me ask you a question, all you Bible thumpers out there, okay? Especially you folks that, I mean, you're so dogmatic about your Bibles, and the Bible is the Word of God, and Bible this and Bible that, and we can't do this without the Bible, and you're an idiot, and you're going to hell if you don't read your Bible. How long has the Bible existed? Not that long. Who put the books into the Bible? Catholic Church. That's a really great organization to be responsible to make sure you got the exact translation and you got all the books you're supposed to have. How about the books they're hiding from us? What do you think's in those? They didn't even put in Jasher and Enoch and some of the other books that are missing that we know of. What about the ones we don't know of? And yet, right here, we're told by John that the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, sent by Yahweh God in the name of Messiah, will teach us all things and bring to remembrance his teachings. What about somebody that was born in a remote location and grew up to be 30, 40 years old, never even knowing there was such a thing as a Bible? Is that Israelite doomed to hell because he didn't have a Bible? Do you think that he has no relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit simply because he grew up somewhere without access to a Bible? I'm just asking a question. I'm not saying Scripture is not important. Of course it's important. Any truth is important. Doesn't matter where you get it from, in my opinion. Truth is truth. And can the Father get truth to you by various means? My opinion, yes. And again, through my almost 69 years on this earth, I've seen truths come to me by numerous avenues. Sometimes by men and women I knew. Sometimes by something that was put before me. Sometimes somebody gave me a book. That's happened to me at least 3 times in my life. Dan, here's a book. I read it, and I kept thinking of you. You need to read this. And they gave me the book. And each time, that book was significant to things that happened to me many years later. Those books taught me things that I could apply to the teaching of this identity truth in the years that followed. So, are we held captive to only knowing what our Father wants by this thing called Habiblos, the Bible? Biblos is the Greek word, and that's where the word Bible comes from. Biblos is the Greek word for book. In fact, in Old English and many other times of history, poor people did not have libraries. Even some of your wealthier princes and magistrates, many of them did not have very many books in their homes at all because they were expensive and hard to come by. And so the Bible became known as the book. When people referred to, do you have a copy of the book, everybody understood they were talking about Habiblos, the Bible, because it was the most read and most copied manuscript on earth. So I'm just saying. Or does John not know what he's talking about here? Romans 8:37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Praise Yahweh that he does love us. We don't deserve it most of the time, to be quite honest. But praise Yahweh that he does love us. Praise Yahweh that he does not change. He does not lie. He does not desert. Whereas you and I, we're not so blessed. We're not so steadfast. Now those who try to emulate our Father, yeah, they're doing a better job of it than the average person. But I think we could all do better. We could all do better. Let's see here. Ella says here we are to use our senses. Well, that's part of discernment, right? Of course. And again, test the spirits, test what you're hearing, and keep that which is good. What matches up with what? What the Holy Spirit tells you, with what your knowledge of Scripture tells you. Okay? Empirical evidence should reinforce the truths. Proverbs 24:16, for the righteous falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This gets a little bit more into Romans 13, where we have been lied to about Romans 13 quite a bit, because Romans 13 does not tell us to blindly obey the authorities, the people that are, quote, in government, okay, the bureaucrats, the bureaucracy. No, that's not what it's saying. And again, if you read it with an open mind and with any kind of discernment, you would know that. Because it says that the authorities that it's talking about are what? A terror to evil. Can anybody honestly say that those in power today are a terror to the workers of iniquity, the workers of evil? Can you say that? Not with a straight face, you can't. Really? I mean, can you? Of course not. So, Romans 13, again, another lie that the modern-day church has foisted upon the believers, saying that we have to obey the authorities. No, we only have to obey the righteous authorities. It would be the same as the verses that talk about honoring your mother and father. Well, you honor your mother and father if they're honorable. There's a lot of people who sire children who are not honorable. They don't deserve honor. Why do you think he would want us to honor them? When it says honor your mother and father in the commandments, it's not talking about your mother and father as much as it's talking about Abraham and Sarah, because they were the example. No, they were not perfect. Even in Scripture, they're not perfect. And we don't know for sure, 100% sure anyway, exactly how they were when they walked this earth, because we're only given a snapshot of their life on this earth. But they were solid enough in their faith that the commandment could tell you that honor your parents when they behave like Abraham and Sarah. That they kept the faith in the Father, the faith in each other, and the faith in our people. Enough so that they produced the lines that led to the Israelites and the people of the Bible, who are not Jews, by the way. So again, you have to use some discernment, and you have to have some innate abilities to sort through the lies and deception. Because the mainstream today, and I mean mainstream everything, whether it's media, government, science, education, religion, you name it, medicine, the mainstream is way off the track today, completely off the track. And so you have to use your discernment to see through the lies and propaganda that's out there, because there's a ton of it. Trust me, there's a ton of it. So anyway, that's pretty much what I wanted to get across today and talk to the folks about, because it is critical where we're at right now, folks. Every day, again, I field so many phone calls and communication with our brethren because of their anxiety over the situation, especially our men, because I'm really, really trying to get to the lions out there, because our people need that. Our homes need lions in its head of the household. Our relationships need lions. Our young people need lions to look up to. The sheep that bear arms need lions to help them have proper discernment of when and where action should be taken. Justice requires the lions to step forward and take reins of control back away from these quacks and charlatans that have rested and become interlopers in the courts and in government. Okay? So we got to pray for the lions, and we need the lions to wake up. Ella has a question. Are all white people our brothers and sisters? I would say no, they're not. Okay. Again, that's why it's not strictly a DNA thing. It's the hardware and the software that have to be right. I think that's why Scripture says don't be unequally yoked. And how can light have fellowship with darkness? How can enlightenment, how can knowledge, how can, excuse me, how can somebody of our Father walk equally yoked to either a female or male who is the direct opposite? I don't think it's possible. So not, and also a lot of people who appear to be white, I'm not so sure that they are. And you can tell that by a couple of things. One, by their fruits. The things they say, what they believe, how they behave, how they talk. Just because they appear to be white, that does not make them your brother and sister. No, it does not. You have to do a little more testing than that. You have to vet them better. That's why you got to be careful who you share your innermost thoughts about things, and certainly anything private about your finances, your home, and all that. Be very careful. Be very circumspect about people who, quote, are your neighbors or who appear to be fellow whites. And I will say that in my lifetime, the people who have done the most damage to me physically, emotionally, spiritually, have been members of the white race. Most of the time, it's been other whites. Okay? So this idea that just because you're white, you're automatically part of my inner circle. No. Sorry. Not going to happen. Not on my ship. Not on my watch. So I would, again, that's a good question. Just because they're white doesn't make them part of the family. And at the same line of thought, just because somebody's not white doesn't automatically make them an outsider as far as somebody who is not to receive a blessing and protection and help. Like down here in Little Havana where I live, there are people in the community who are Latinos or blacks from Haiti and Mexico and Central America and all that. There's quite a few of them down here. And there's a lot of them that I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for. But there are some of them who are very upstanding individuals. Very upstanding. And I help guard their homes and help them out from time to time when they need help, as they would do for me. So again, but that does not mean I want them to marry my children. Does not mean that I want them to cohabit in the same area where my home is. There should be some separation, equal but separate. So again, a lot of it is common sense. Really, when we had common sense, it's a shame that there isn't much of that left anymore. But anyway, that's the main thing I wanted tonight. Try to keep it a little shorter here, and then ended up with some music. Hopefully, it looks like the recorder is still running. So the last show, the recorder stopped all on its own. I have no idea why, and chopped off the very end of the program. So today I've been keeping an eye on it, and so far it looks like it's working. So again, we've had some glitches. We do apologize for that, but we're working through it. Things are starting to work together. And from time to time, we will have folks come on as guests and or take calls. Right now, the only one that works well is the Skype. And I know some people don't have it, but it is a free program, and it works fairly well. So if you feel inclined, you can load up Skype on your computer and join us some evening if you wish, if you have something to report. We're trying to figure out why the 813 number doesn't communicate with Skype. Once we get that figured out, then that will also be available. So, again, thank you for listening, and we'll close in prayer and then play some music for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the platform you've provided. So many crazy things going on, especially in cyberspace today with so many viruses and Trojans and malware out there. And then, of course, we got the enemy trying to shut down with censorship any truth-telling. So there's a lot of things that we're fighting, but we also know that we don't fight alone. And we do praise you and thank you for the things that you've given us, many of which we do not even deserve. We thank you for giving us strength, giving us discernment, and especially your Holy Spirit, Father, that ministers to us and encourages us and gives us insight and brings information to us. All things work to the good for those who love the Father and are called according to his purpose. We here know that we're part of that purpose as we get closer to the end of this age and the twinkling of an eye where we shall be changed and be with you forever. We pray for your coming to be very, very soon and for that time to be soon and for the wicked to be put into the dirt where they belong. To that end, we ask you to walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. Forgive us our sins, be with us always, and protect us from our enemies. Hallelujah.
In the mountains up near Sandpoint, north of Naples, Idaho, eagles gathered there together to guard the truth. So you might know, down the road that followed Deep Creek, at the turn that crossed the bridge, federal marshals had the roadblock to mark the siege of Ruby Ridge. There the armies of the enemy slayed your bride and only son, nearly killed your close companion when the shrapnel pierced his lung. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. On that evening, late one August, you were forced to take your stand. They're two strangers as they trespassed, drew first blood on private land. Governor Andrus, back in Boise, he let the enemy tell him lies. And from his anti-Christ decision, Sam and Vicky lost their lives. Federal agents, U.S. Marshals, and FBI men stormed the hill, all on false, fictitious charges, given orders, shoot to kill. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. Though the armies of the enemy may surround us in the night, there's a host of heavenly angels hovering near, ready to fight. We stand with you, Randy Weaver. We are proud to call you friend. As we gather here together, stand beside you till the end. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is.
Thank you. tonight. There are a billion stars up in the sky, but I just need one star to catch my eye. I haven't found it, but I know the light could take a million years to get to me. But I know it when I see it, when I'm standing in the glow. I take off at the speed of light, sailing into the night, hoping it brings me to you. Say, hey, we haven't met, but I've known you forever. It seems like, it feels like, hey, I'm betting that we'll be together before I awake from this dream. The moon catches my eye as I stand alone out on the beach. The things I wanna just stay on my reach, but I'm reaching just the same. Step against my feet relentlessly. I feel the tide could bring you close to me, but I still don't know your name. I take off at the speed of light, sailing into the night, hoping it brings me to you. Say, hey, we haven't met, but I've known you forever. It seems like, it feels like, hey, I'm betting that we'll be together before I awake from this dream. Time after time I wake out of breath with your name on my lips. And hey, we haven't met, but I've known you forever. Say, hey, I'm betting that we'll be together before I awake from this dream. Hey, we haven't met, but I've known you forever. It seems like, it feels like, hey, I'm betting that we'll be together before I awake from this dream.
to comfort my soul, and I have no doubt your word sees me through situations of life. Yahweh be glorified. And so I shall give unto thee this day magnified praise from this vessel of clay. Oh, this life that I live is led by mercy and grace. Yahweh, I give thee praise. I cry out to you, you're my tower of strength. Yahweh, I lean on you in everything. I learn to give thanks in every trial that comes.
Trump is our man.